Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I don't have a plan.
Classic strategy.
I wish my dad would spend more time with me.
Guys, this is great. Not only will I be able to put food on the table and pay all my bills.
Life is a race, and we want it to be a marathon. We want it to be long distance, but we're trying to run life's marathon like it's a sprint.
I'm Jim Burns. The breathless pace of modern life is tearing at the fabric of many families today. If you're a parent and you're trying to keep up with those many commitments that you have, well, it's possible that you're burnt out. It's a struggle today to balance marriage and family and all the other issues while trying to be successful at work. Well, the key is to learn how to balance your schedule. During the next half hour, I'll be talking with Bill Butterworth, and you're going to enjoy this conversation. He's a great communicator. We're going to be talking about how to balance work and family. So keep it right here on Homeward. From the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, welcome to Homeward with parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns. I'm Roger Marsh. As the school year winds down, and depending on where you're listening to this, I mean, in California, there are still schools that are going to be in session until like about July 1st. But as the school year winds down, oftentimes it's an opportunity for parents and families to take a look at their workload, as it were, and see about you lose a few things on the schedule, add a few more things. How do you balance work and family? Well, guess what, mom and dad? If kids are dictating the tone, there's a problem, because it's up to us to be the ones who kind of set the stage for this. Bill Butterworth is with us here in studio. We're going to talk about how to balance work and family. He's got an outstanding book on this topic, and Bill's just a lot of fun to listen to. And now with part one of today's program, here's Jim. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns. Today's going to be a great day. We're talking with Bill Butterworth, how to balance work and family. Bill is a highly sought-after speaker all across the United States. Many consider him one of the best humorist experts on life and work issues. I love this man. I love his ability to communicate. He's written over a dozen books. He lives with his wife, Kathy, who is here also with us in studio in Newport Beach, California. Bill, welcome to our program.
Thanks, Jim. It's great to be here. Thanks for that very kind introduction, too. Well, I can't wait to hear what I have to say.
Well, you know, what's interesting is I have the privilege to speak at a number of places where you speak, and, you know, if I come right after Bill Butterworth, you know, there's just, you know, praise and adoration. I think, my goodness, you know, there's Jesus and there's Bill. So anyway, I appreciate so much.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. And then you knock the ball out of the park and put the pressure on me. Yeah. That's why I never get invited back.
No, I
speak a lot of places once.
Well, we all do that. But anyway, I do appreciate so much your ability to bring truth with some humor and realism. And that's a great trait. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Now, you describe your childhood in one sentence. I love this sentence. I weighed back then what I weigh now, and I was 4 feet shorter, and my last name was Butterworth.
Yeah, that's not a pretty picture, is it? I mean, you instantly see where I got in the pecking order growing up in school. I certainly wasn't one of the cool kids, let's put it that way. Where I went to school, the athletes were the cool kids. Now, maybe some in your audience need to work with me here. Maybe they went to a school where the band was really tough, or, you know, chess club rules, something like that. But where I went to school, it was the athletes. I grew up in Philly, so it was the athletes. You have an extra syllable in there.
That's right. Use guys.
That's
were really
right.
Big deal.
Yeah.
Right. So here you are as a kid, struggling, you were overweight, you're picked last, you felt worthless until you joined the track team.
That's right. My high school social studies teacher invited me to become an athlete. You know, the football coach was after me to be on the line, but my mother would not let me join the football team because she thought I would get hurt. And I'm not a medical doctor, but I believed it was physically impossible to injure me because you could not get to anything that you could damage. But nonetheless, I was allowed to join the track team because that was a non-contact sport. And of course, I wasn't a runner. I was what they called a weight man, the shot put and the discus. You've seen the famous statue of the discus thrower, and that's how the coach signed me up. And apparently my face went ash, and he said, relax, relax, they wear clothes now when they throw this thing. But he gave me this line, if you could just get your beef behind one of these things, you could send it into orbit, you know. And so I was allowed to join the track team, and as a shot putter and a discus thrower, it really was one of those moments where I began to feel a little bit more in terms of self-esteem and felt more valued, and it was a cool thing.
Isn't that funny? And even as adults, we do look for ways to build our self-image when it comes to our work or with our family or whatever it may be. And sometimes when it comes to life, we're trying to run a marathon, but we end up trying to sprint and we don't make it, do we?
Well, yeah. And of course, that's the purpose of that whole opening story in the book is I get conned into running this race as a weight man, which I never should have done. I'm supposed to be running a 440, which is one lap around the track. Any idiot could do it. But I was soon to discover that I'm not just any idiot because I couldn't do it. I ran with everything I had. And ran about three quarters of it. About the 3:30, I fell over. You know, I'll tell you the rest of the story, Jim, as it was later told to me. It was ugly. You know, it was just really, really bad. Yeah. And, you know, I tried to put a positive spin on it and say, you know, well, I won the 3:30. But nobody gets excited about that. I mean, it's a great biblical metaphor. In Hebrews, it talks about we run this race with endurance. Well, nobody gets excited about running only three quarters of a race. And it's a bit of a pun, but it's an intentional play on words. It's interesting. When we fall out of a race, we lose our balance. I fell. And for many of us, it's the same kind of pressure in the real world. Life is a race, and we want it to be a marathon. We want it to be long distance, but we're trying to run life's marathon like it's a sprint. Plus, we put all these other issues into our lives. We want to be good in our marriage. We want to have good parenting skills. We want to be a good worker. We want to be plugged into our church, our small group, sing in the choir, you know, have the Thursday night bowling league, work out 5 days a week, you know, join the reading club. You know, we want to do all this stuff, take a community college class, maybe run for governor. We have all these things that we want to do. They're all good things, but they make balance an extremely difficult challenge
for us.
Well,
it is hard. And when you think about the corporate world, the word fast track is celebrated, it's coveted.
Well, yeah. And actually, when I speak to corporate groups about this topic, I usually make reference to the fast track. It's like, you know, when you're trying to run life's marathon like it's a sprint, what that translates into in the workforce is you got someone who burns out before they reach 30. Well, if you put them on the fast track, you can burn them out at like 26 or 27. Right. And of course, the tragedy in the corporate world is you got 50 people in line ready for that person's job. I'll run the risk. I'll take the chance. Although I do want to say it's a new day in the corporate world. I'm seeing, I've been talking about this subject for years and years and years. And in the beginning, it was just human resource people that were interested. Well, now upper management, CEOs, they're becoming more interested in this, and not even necessarily for altruistic reasons, but they realize imbalanced people affect the bottom line. If you burn out, I've got to hire someone else. I've got to train them. There's the learning curve. It's costing me dollars and cents. So even a lot of the Fortune 500 CEOs are saying, help me bring balance into the lives of my men and women that work with me.
We're talking with Bill Butterworth, How to Balance Work and Family. I want to ask you a question. It's actually in your book. I read your entire book. I loved it. And you say, is it possible to be successful while at the same time maintaining balance between your personal and professional lives?
It really is. I think you need to prioritize what's really important in your life. I think there are several adjustments that need to take place. It's this whole issue of, you know, can I have it all and can I have it all now? It reminds me of that comedian's line. I can't remember his name, but if you had it all, where would you put it? You know, that sort of thing. I mean, you know, we have to kind of redefine what success and all these things looks like. But I do believe that you can have a very fulfilling career and a satisfying family life as well.
You know, a lot of people say that they want that, but then you don't see them doing it. I was remembering reading a book that actually you mentioned in your book, In Search of Excellence, and the author said, is it possible to be all the best you can be in terms of the Little League coach and have an excellent job? And you know what he said was, I'm not sure it is.
Yeah, he said no. He said you couldn't do it.
And I remember reading that going, wait, I like your book. And that scared me. But I think a lot of people say, no, I want all that I can have with my family and with my spouse. I want all that I can have with work. To balance that, you actually have to take a notch down in some ways.
That's right. When I talk to people, when I give this presentation in a corporate setting, I'll get, you know, people afterwards kind of coming up to me and say, okay, you got me nailed to the wall. I am an imbalanced person. I need help. What do you think? And I said, well, I don't mean to be oversimplistic, but I see three options. One, you can keep your life exactly the way it is. Or two, we have to figure out a way to adjust your life, the old work smarter, not harder adage. Or three, you're going to have to quit and get a job somewhere else. Well, usually they don't want the first option. They don't want it the same way. And they don't want to go as radically as quitting. So I said, okay, so we've got to, it's all the stuff we heard when we were kids. We got to put our thinking caps on, boys and girls. Right. How can I do this job creatively, whether it's flex time or whether it's delegating more or whether it's realizing, you know, I really probably don't need that promotion as quickly as I thought I did. Maybe I can work a more realistic pace. We talk in the book about things like, instead of thinking of work and family as two separate things, lots of times they can be blended together. There's a great story in the book, and I say it because it's not mine, but the whole idea of the guy who went to his son's Little League game and took a client with him. I love that story because he said, see, it wasn't either or. We were all together, and this guy was probably more like my age, hadn't been to a Little League game since his kids were little and his grandkids were too young to play. He was nuts. He loved it. It was the best day of the month for that guy. And here, this guy got to be at his son's ball game as well. So it's thinking outside the box, being a little more creative. Those are the ways that we bring balance into our lives.
We're going to put our thinking caps on as we take a break. We'll be back in just a moment. We're going to talk about the hazies and how that can help us become people who are more balanced with our work and with our family. And that's, of course, what we want. Roger?
Well, as we talk about how to balance work and family today here on the Homeward Broadcast, grateful that Bill Butterworth is in studio with us. He has a book on this topic that we have up at homeward.com, HOMEWORD.com. You know, Jim did a lot of research many years ago. He updated it a few years ago and updated it even more recently than that, because this is a very important theme. 10 building blocks for a solid family. And if you are looking, one of them is how to balance a work schedule, how to balance playtime, how to infuse just enough spiritual disciplines into your life. 10 building blocks for a solid family is a very practical book. We highly recommend it. And it's available wherever Christian books are sold. But if you order it today from homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. It's tax deductible to you, beneficial to us, especially here as we approach June 30th and the end of our fiscal year. So order a copy of 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family from homeward.com. You'll get a great book and support the ministry of Homeward all at the same time. Such a deal. And now let's continue. Here's the conclusion of today's conversation on balancing work and family and Jim Burns.
Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Bill Butterworth with us today. What a delight to have him. We're talking about how to balance work and family. As Rogers mentioned, his book is called Balancing Work and Life. It's a great read. It's a great message, an important message. Bill, before the break, I loved you said, you know, we sometimes have to just put our thinking caps on. And you say that in your book, there are three things that hold us back from striking a healthy balance in life. And you call them the hazies and the lazies and the crazies. Well, tell us first off what the hazies are.
The definition of haziness is losing sight of your long-term goals. It comes from the Greek word smogos. That's a joke, folks.
Well, in L.A. area, yeah, we know what smog
is. It's the smog. It's the morning coastal fog. It's, you know, I really believe the Pacific Ocean is out there, but they tell me I won't be able to see it till about 10:30 or 11 until that morning fog burns away. I mean, when I think about haziness in life, I really identify with this in terms of balancing my own life, because I know what's important in my life, but I also know how easily I am distracted away from those. There was a little booklet years ago that I'm sure you're aware of called Tyranny of the Urgent.
Yes.
You know, the urgent outweighs the important, but it shouldn't. You know, I want to look straight on and know exactly what's important. Because, again, when I make this presentation in a group setting and I say, well, you know how you beat the hazies is you pursue and practice priorities. Well, the eyes start rolling and everyone has that look of, oh, my goodness, if I hear one more talk on priorities and, you know, I bought the Life notebook and I have the plaque with calligraphy on my office credenza, and I have the Soaring Eagle poster that I bought from the Airplane magazine. I mean, I've got priorities. It's not a question of do we have our priorities. It's a question is do we live our right priorities? And that's the issue.
And, you know, this is a tough one. I sit with four men. There's five of us every Tuesday. And we talk about this, and we write at the beginning of each year, we write down our goals and our priorities, and they are amazing goals and priorities. I mean, they're great. They're great in terms of relationship with God. They're fabulous with relationship with their spouses. I mean, these are my heroes and mentors, I mean, times in life. But every 4 months, we recheck it, and we give ourselves grades, and we give ourselves poor grades. Yeah. So we have the priorities. I mean, we know what's right. We just don't do it.
Yeah, you know, when this book first came out, and you know, because you write, you get this kind of glut of interviews that you're doing, and it seemed like every interview that I held, that I kept saying the same thing over and over, and that is, everyone's looking for the brass ring, the magic key to balance, and I think for a lot of us, it's coming to the realization that balance is one of those issues you never completely nail down. Just because you have a balanced Monday does not mean you will have a balanced Tuesday. I had a professor who used to describe stuff like that as trying to nail Jell-O to a tree. You know, it just doesn't stick. It's not going to stay. So I think for most of us, what we have to learn is to become more intentional about balance. Because my guess is, since you mentioned your group of guys, every 4 months you do that, I bet right out of that meeting, you have a couple, 3 weeks that really look good. But then because the haziness creeps in, other things distract you from that program that you were working, and it's easy to see 4 months later how things have kind of slipped away. And since you're being vulnerable enough to admit that, we're all in the same boat. I mean, if we don't remain intentional about beating the hazies, and in the book, I offer kind of a little triangle for
right,
each
I want
of
you to
the,
talk about that triangle.
The priorities triangle has three elements to it, attention, connection, and reflection. Attention has to do with the tasks in our lives. If you are attention oriented, you're probably the king or queen of the to-do list. You wake up every morning, you put it into your PDA or you write it down longhand. But the most wonderful feeling in life is creating a to-do list. Well, that's the second most wonderful. The most wonderful is placing the check by each of the tasks.
That's right.
And any of us in the workforce have probably been tested on this before. There are task-oriented people. There are relationship-oriented people. Connection has to do with the relationships in our lives. You may be wired that way, where you are just a networker and, you know, hey, let's have a bagel at coffee break. Let's do lunch. Let's have the family barbecue. You know, you love that sort of thing. But there's weaknesses with both. Relationship-oriented people have difficulty accomplishing a lot of tasks. Task-oriented people, how should we say this, are oftentimes alone. Right. They have no friends. And of course, the task-oriented person refutes that by saying, I have friends. Here, it's on my list. Make a friend. You know, and I mean, we've got this stuff going all the time. So how does a task-oriented person become more relational? How does a relational person become more task-oriented? I don't think it's rocket science. Again, I think you have to be more intentional about it. And that's where the third element, reflection, comes into play. It's the flip of what my grandmother used to say to me. She, what I want you to hear is, don't just do something, sit there.
Right.
I mean, we are like, sit there. Yeah, just quietly reflect. Well, the Christian would know it as their quiet time, as their meditation, as what do I need to do today? And Jim, I feel foolish admitting this, but I think a lot of people identify, having grown up in church, I was taught how to pray as a child. And there are certain things we pray for. We pray for the missionaries, and we pray for the sick, and we pray for our president. And I mean, these are all good things, and I would not take anything away from them. I was a grown man before I realized, you know what? I could probably pray to God every morning and say, God, you know, I'm a very task-oriented person. Would you bring relationships into my life today that are so winsome, that are so compelling, that I can bring a little more balance in my life? Or, Lord, you know how connected I am with folks. Can you help me have the courage to put a do not disturb sign on my little cubicle so I can get this project done? They're talking about firing me if I don't get this thing done. And just, I mean, to me, that was such an eye-opening experience, and it's so simplistic of, gee, I could actually pray to God to help me have balance in my life. I mean, these are issues that I think are very, very key. And so if you have attention, connection, and reflection all working together, I think that's the way to work the plan to bring your priorities into practice.
Now, some of the people listening today say, that sounds great. My life is a mess. I am absolutely not balanced, and I don't even know where to begin. I mean, what do they do?
Well, later on, when we talk about the crazies, there is actually an action plan at that point in the book. But one of the to just jump ahead and talk about that at this point, one thing I encourage folks to do is to kind of follow this life as a race metaphor out to its fullest extent. And I say, sit down with a blank sheet of paper, and your assignment is to divide your life's race into what I call laps. And a lap is every person, place, or thing that places a demand on your time. Don't be stingy. You know, when I first did it, I said, my wife is a lap, my kids are a lap, and then, wait a minute, whoa, I have five kids. So my kids are actually five laps, okay? My job is a lap. Well, maybe your job breaks down into, I have a job as a radio host, I have a job as an author, I have a job, you know. So you get as many laps as reflect your life. And then you start going through questions like prioritize them. Not this is number one, this is number seven, but A, B, and C. A are absolutely, you know, no-brainers. These are the non-negotiables. B are important, but not as important as A. And C are the laps that make you say, how in the world did I get talked into this anyway? Why am I coaching, you know, a Mahjong group? You know, what? How did this happen? You know, so, and then you begin to see, okay, now I can start eliminating things from my life that aren't essential, that at least start giving me a little bit of progress. And, you know, I encourage them in the book, don't ever add a lap without eliminating one first. Right. Always think of laps as being replacements, not additions.
Good input. Eliminate and kind of concentrate on what our priority is. Well, our time's up. I've got to have you come back next time so we can continue this.
I'd love to
even talk about the crazies or the lazies. And so we're going to have to do that next time. Good.
Okay, and that concludes part one of what will now be a two-part conversation with author and speaker Bill Butterworth here on the Homeward broadcast today. Roger Marsh back in the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University, graduating difference maker since 1899. You can learn more about what Dr. Jim Burns is teaching every semester and the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at apu.edu. We have a link up at homeward.com. Jim, it's always so much fun to have Bill Butterworth on the program because he's got so much enthusiasm for his topic, so much passion for it, too.
Oh, he's great. He is funny. He's refreshing.
Yeah.
I'm with Bill Butterworth. I feel refreshed. He's very practical. Today, I mean, he was talking about a major issue that all of us deal with, how to balance work and family. And it's not easy. Just when I think I'm doing fine, then something gets in crisis, whether it be in my family or gets in crisis at work. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm spinning again. So it's
right.
Something that a lot of us don't feel very good about. Two words for the end of this program: eliminate and concentrate. Now, I'm not a business person, but basically it's business words that I've moved into the family. I think what we have to do, and this isn't easy because this is radical surgery in our life, but if you aren't balancing well and if it's not working, then we've got to eliminate and we've got to concentrate. Basically, this means focus. Now, here's the question. Is it working in your life? As we've been talking about balance, I mean, if you say, hey, we're balanced, things are going well, then fantastic. You're working your priorities right. But for a lot of families, what I'm suggesting today is that they eliminate even the good things and concentrate on the best things. And that becomes so, so key. In fact, you know, we were so busy even with God projects that we missed God.
Right.
Well, you know, this happens so many times. So here's what we're going to do today on Homeward. We're going to say it's okay to not be in so many activities. And with that, I want you to start crossing things off. You know what? I made a decision today on a writing project that I just simply had to say, I love doing this. It is a part of my passion, but I can't do it well. So I'm just going to stop doing it. And I had to probably make some people feel sad about that because they had been counting on me to continue a process, but I just simply needed to say no and eliminate and concentrate on other things so that I can be more effective and also I can be balanced. Because you know what? More important than our work, and work is very important, is our life and our relationship with our family. And so if you feel like your family is being hurt by a lot of the things that are going on with work and other life activities, then the word's for you. Eliminate and concentrate. Now, here's Roger with some information about a couple of resources that you can use to do a better job of balancing work and family.
Well, one of those is Bill's book about balancing work and life, and we've got that up at homeward.com. It's available wherever Christian books are sold. Also, for parents here who listen to the Homeward broadcast on a regular basis, you know how frustrating it can be for parents when the schedules are going nuts. We really lose our confidence in our ability to actually be good parents and good spouses, as the case may be. Dr. Jim Burns' book, Confident Parenting, will help restore that confidence. confidence and restore that joy. It'll also restore security in the lives of your kids, too. Confident Parenting is available for purchase wherever books are sold. If you buy it from Homeward today through Homeward.com, a portion of the proceeds goes to supporting our ministry. So get Confident Parenting from Homeward.com.
Well, I hope something today has helped you find the right balance between work and family. Homeward is committed to restoring relationships at home by encouraging parents and building families. And frankly, your prayers and your financial support help to make that possible. In fact, your donation to Homeward today will ensure that we are able to continue to bring help to you and other families in this area. So go online, make that contribution if you'd like at homeward.com. Thank you for all you do to make this program possible. And be sure to join me again next time when I'll continue my conversation with Bill Butterworth about how to balance work and family. Till then, I'm Jim Burns, and I appreciate you tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.